Good evening. Welcome to, oh my gosh, it's a Tuesday Night Live. You all giving up half-price movies? For me, sorry about the Fetterman look, but I got body chills. Got a little bit of cold, which means I sound sultry and sexy. So, and I can't do falsetto. No. So, yeah, happy birthday again to Jeff. And let's get straight to your questions, comments, issues. I did a good show today. Somebody sent me a four-page argument on the art of the argument and consequentialism. And I hope that you will check it out. It'll be going out over the next day or two. Oh, I'm just going to run through a couple of things. Let me just run through a couple of things here so that I satisfy my own conscience. For once in my life, I satisfy my own conscience. And what do we got here? I mean, if you're going to subscribe, and now's the time to do it. It's the new year. Might as well roll it into your budget. If you're going to subscribe at freedomain.locals.com, promo code all caps UPB2022, you're good to go. You get quite a lot of premium shows, StephBot AI, where you can ask me questions in any one of, I think it's 60 or 70 languages, and get the response back in your own language. My 11 plus hours on the French Revolution, my 23 part series, History of Philosophers. And it's just really, really great stuff. There's a premium podcast search engine, so you can find that kind of stuff. The premium shows have been remastered to sound even better, even more sultry now with additional salt. And we're working on a natural language search that's going to be rolled out, of course, to the premium subscribers. So it's a massive amount of value. And I hope that you will check it out. I really, really hope that you will check it out. It's really, really great stuff. All right. That wee promo having been put together, I hope that you will settle in for a nice chat. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with these tunnels, man. I really don't know. But don't jump to conclusions, right? Don't jump to conclusions. Wait for the data to come in. All right. Hey, Steph, what's your thoughts about Christian obsession with forgiveness? I'm a Christian myself, and I do struggle with this concept. Having an adverse childhood experience score of 9, I've experienced real evil, and forgiveness feels wrong. Christians that I know say that forgiveness is strength, but I think to myself, if I was the devil, wouldn't I want to convince everyone to focus on forgiveness instead of fighting evil? Something is not connecting for me, and I would love to hear your opinion. Hey, man. No, gentle show. Very gentle show. I really don't give my opinions. I try to give reasoned arguments with evidence and syllogism. So I try to give reasoned arguments. Failing that, I just rip off my shirt. Like the Hulk, if he was a little bit anemic and probably vegan. So you have experienced real evil. So I'll tell you what the plus side, in my view, right? Oh, no, not in my view. Oh, Lord, I'm all over the place here. I'm not even medicated for once. But for me, there's great strength in this idea of forgiveness insofar as if you can live without evildoers having an effect on you, you ought to move on rather than plot revenge. If you can live without evildoers having an effect on you, then you ought to. There's real value in moving on and not plotting your revenge. Thank you for the tip. Please feel free. Sabrina, nice to have you back. Thank you for the tip. Feel free to tip all y'all. So, with regards to some people who've done me great immoralities in my past, I have moved on and I have a pretty great life now. Thank you, everyone, for making all of this possible. I hope that I continue to add value every night, every show, every week, every call-in. But I've moved on. I have a great life. I have a wonderful marriage. Love my daughter. Love my wife. Love you guys and have great friendships. And I'm very sort of happy with where things are. The problem is that evildoers usually have a streak of masochism, which means that punishing them is serving them, right? And maybe this is where some of the wisdom around forgiveness is, that people who are very physically aggressive love to fight. Now, if you love to fight, that means also you want to get beaten up, right? So if you are cruel towards people who are cruel towards you, you may be serving them more than you realize. So it's not, and I wouldn't say it's an obsession with forgiveness. The question of forgiveness is a very big, it's a very big question. It's a very big question. My father died with no reconciliation, never reached out to me, never even told me that he was ill. And so it turns out I was right to not have him in my life for all those years. But if I had spent all those years plotting revenge or being consumed by anger or, you know, it to me, it's like some people have the moral free will of your average raging fire, right? I mean, by the time they're doing great evil, they don't have a lot of moral free will left, if any. And so what is the purpose of fire? Well, if the fire burns you, do you take revenge upon it, right? I mean, let's say it's contained fire. Like if you accidentally reach into a contained fire, do you take revenge on it? Do you like cover it in sand and put it out and then light it up and put it out again? No, what you do is you move away from the fire, right? You learn the lesson and you move away from the fire. Now, does that mean forgiveness? Well, they're definitely, and Christianity, and certainly Jesus himself, was very clear on this, that there is no forgiveness without repentance. There is no forgiveness without repentance. Now, Jesus also said that all that is human is fallible, and everything will be corrupted. So when you see church teaching saying you have to forgive evildoers even though they have not repented, well, that's Satan worming his snaky, smoky fingers into the minds of the church leaders in order to provide subsidies and rewards for evildoers, which is forgiveness is without being earned is a subsidy, and it is corrupting to everyone involved. So forgiveness is a strength insofar as it's not that I forgive those who've done me evil. It's one step better. One step better. As a great line, Ayn Rand got this from her husband, Frank O'Connor. It's a great line where the evil guy says to the hero, what do you think of me? And he says, I don't think of you. Isn't that the ultimate liberty? If you're forced to do something evil, and revenge is either serves the evildoer by drawing you into a web of violence, or it's a trap, or the evildoer is masochistic and you're serving the evildoer, walking away, this is sort of turn the other cheek, right? Walking away. Now, turn the other cheek also is to make sure it's not an accident. Like if there's a great line in Hamlet where he says, I think Hamlet says to Laertes, if I've shot an arrow, over the house and hit my brother. Right? It's an arrow, an accident, right? So one blow, you make sure you turn the other cheek. If they hit again, then it's willed, right? So for me, forgiveness is moving on to the point where the actions of evildoers have no effect either on my mind or my life. Now, you may say to me, well, Steph, you talk about the past and blah, 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 but that's in the context of the show. Honestly, outside the context of the show, I honestly can't remember the last time I've thought about people early in my life. I bring them up as examples because I think a lot of us go through similar things, but I don't think about them. I'm having too good a time. So somebody replies, part of it comes out of the evangelical part of Christianity. Loose forgiveness means a low barrier of entry, meaning if you can grow your church bigger and faster, meaning you can grow your church bigger and faster, right? There was a lot of, you grew up in this particular church, it was a Baptist church, there was a lot of pressure on people into mouthing platitudes, then insisting that God changed them. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So, if you say, without repentance, there is no forgiveness, you will be attacked by evildoers, because you're withholding from them the drug they most desperately need, which is forgiveness without repentance. So it is a form of self-defense to mount these platitudes. All right. Sweatshirt Steph, whoa. Well, step aside, my friend. I've been doing it for years. All right. Boogie in the butt, 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 boogie in the butt. Your show on Bitcoin was awesome, inspiring. I can't help but agree with you. Sometimes the golden finger of the great god of currency does tickle my brain in a most pleasing and prostate kind of way. So, the French Revolution, very good. It's a must listen. I think so. Have you got any thoughts on the SEC compromised account? A compromised account? No. No, no, no. In my opinion, right? In my opinion. Okay, so if you looked at Bitcoin today, you saw it did a little bit of a spike, then did a little bit of a crash. And this is the SEC hack timeline. So 3:11 p.m. At SEC.gov tweets, all hashtag Bitcoin ETFs are approved. 3:26, Gary Gensler, I guess he's the head, says SEC account was hacked. 3:38, SEC regains control of their account and deletes original tweet. 3:42, SEC tweets they were hacked and have not approved ETF. So I assume this is flushing out the longs, flushing out some shorts, and yeah. I mean, there's a lot to say about this, and but I want to make sure it's of interest to you. Hit me with a why if you want me to dig into this, as I think what's really what's really going on. What's I want to serve you, of course, as the glorious customers of philosophy. The face ran into the hand, maybe. Oh, that one, sorry. Yes, okay, so there's a lot. Obviously, I don't know. But the idea that you can regain your account, that you were hacked, and that you regain your account within, what, 3:26, they announced the account was hacked, 3:38, so we get 12 minutes later. The idea that you can regain control of a major government account in 12 minutes staggers. I mean, I've known fairly famous people who had to wait 5 months to get their account restored. Now, again, I guess I know that's a little different. But I don't personally believe, no proof. I don't personally believe that they were hacked at all. And whether it was market manipulation or something like that, I don't know. But it probably was something as simple as they know that they're going to be rubber stamping the ETFs at 3 o'clock tomorrow. And so they set up an advanced tweet, right? They programmed a tweet to come out tomorrow at 3 o'clock so they couldn't be accused of market manipulation. And, or at least there would be less of a chance of being accused of market manipulation. So they set up a tweet to go out tomorrow at 3 o'clock or shortly after three. And the intern got the date wrong. I mean, that would be my guess. So, yeah, I assume that they cost people like staggering amounts of money. Like this whole mistake cost people staggering amounts of money. And well, there won't be any consequences, right? There won't be any punishment. But don't worry. They're going to investigate themselves. I've investigated myself and found myself extraordinarily hot. So yeah, I mean, I assume it's mostly just a bunch of incompetent nonsense. And the SEC, of course, is investigating Elon Musk for what? Misleading tweets. Again, I don't mean to laugh, but oh my gosh. You've got to be kidding. Mark Moss says, my account was hacked in August. It took 5 months, 30 plus support tickets, as well as reaching several people inside X to get it back. So, Gabor Gerbax writes, I'm no cybersecurity expert, but it seems almost impossible to notice a bad tweet from org account, tweet from the chair's account to correct it, then recover a hacked social media account, then tweet about incident and response to it from a hacked account all in a few minutes. Well, that's quite something. 94% of all of the 19.6 million Bitcoin is in profit. 94%. Of all of the 19.6 million Bitcoin is in profit. Isn't that wild? Isn't that just wild? There's a new data by Robert Plowman. He's the leading figure in behavioral genetics. And he has confirmed once more for the nth time, this is from Paolo Shirazi, repeats the counterintuitive but widely accepted finding that the effect of the family environment on cognitive ability drops to virtually zero by early adulthood. Let me say that again. The effect of the family environment on cognitive ability drops to virtually zero by early adulthood. Well, we know where that leads it. So, yeah, here's the funny thing. Like, hit me with a why. Hit me with a why. If you've ever worked with government people, have you ever worked with government people, government employees? Have you ever had the joy of sitting across the table? Right. Yes. I mean, I've worked with government people, I've negotiated with government people and all of that. And, you know, there's a few exceptions here and there. But let's just talk, it doesn't have to be the SEC, any regulatory agency. Is it going to be populated by people better or worse than the people in the industry? Is the regulatory agency going to be populated by people better or worse than the people they're regulating? I mean, to ask the question is to answer it. If you are in a regulatory agency, then by definition, you're far less competent than the people you're regulating, because if you were more competent than the people you're regulating, you'd be making a zillion dollars in the regulatory field. So, I mean, this is just a basic fact that people know what you talk about. But again, it's just one of these basic things. So, for those who can't teach, if you can't teach, become a bureaucrat. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of pithy, but right. I mean, I worked with some government programmers, and I was a 100x programmer. I mean, I have some skills in things, and now there, it's true that some people will go into the regulatory agencies in order, like when they could make more money in the private sector, but they go in there in order, I assume, to, in general, benefit those who were in the private sector. So they go in so that there's an in, right? Again, I can't prove this with anyone. That's just a general theory about what happens. We know the regulatory capture is a huge thing. And so I would assume that people move into the regulatory agency so that they can benefit those in the free market. I mean, of course, I think of the people at the Fed, you're screaming at Bush during the 2007-08 financial crisis that if he didn't bail out the banks immediately to the tunes of hundreds of billions of dollars, the entire economic system was going to be it was going to be toast and everything was going to rant, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I remember. Yeah, and all the ex-central bankers get paid $250,000 an hour to give speeches once they step down. I think some of them do for sure. And I did notice that when Hillary was not going to be president, her speaking fees seemed to diminish just a smidge. Just a smidge. Maybe I remember that. I remember this being one of my sort of red pill moments, a little bit of a black pill moment way back in the day, when I saw a police force that was regularly, that the gangs or the mafia or whoever would send people to be trained by the police, and then they would go back to a life of crime. In other words, the police couldn't figure out who was a criminal or not. Oh my gosh. Just great. There's no solution to this, right? There's no magic. Power corrupts everybody and their dog. Such amazing content from the get-go. Forgiveness. Thank you. DBP. Thank you, DBP. I appreciate that. All right. Let me see what else I have to chat about. Ooh, less than 15,000 blocks until the Bitcoin halving. Less than 15,000 blocks until the Bitcoin halving. 103 days. As of 9 hours ago, according to Bitcoin Archive, 103 days, 21 hours, 39 minutes, 19 seconds. Very, very interesting. this was a good meme. It was a good meme. And it's a picture of Adam and Eve with Satan the snake in the Garden of Eden. And it's, the caption is, I think women have a hard time deciding where to eat because the last time they decided, they doomed all of humanity. I'll have the apple. That's very good. I mean, they could be approved tomorrow. They could start trading as early as Thursday. Caleb is a bit of a Chad, Giga Chad. I have mixed feelings about this, but this is what he wrote on his dating profile. He's a good-looking guy. He's 30 years old. Trigger warning. Let me guess, you're 25 with three kids, and you've done had your fun. Now you don't want that. You want a real man to settle down with and take care of you and your kids because you let a loser nut inside of you. Okay. I'm 6 foot even. I have my own house, two vehicles, and I make over $75,000 a year. What do you bring to the table? If the answer is someone else's kids, then go kick rocks. No man will ever want you. Stop saying you're thick. You're obese. Also, you're not a dog mom. You're a pet owner. Highly triggering, I'm sure, to a lot of people. Yes, you can. What is the name? What's the number of that show? Oh, yeah, the truth about, what are the facts about forgiveness? Yeah. Yes, that's a great link. Hello, Steph. Hello, chat. Hello, Hidden Dragon. What's that old joke from the Oscars? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. The movie has no tigers and no dragons, but that's because they're crouching. All right. Oh, the people who were like, well, if you were a real man, you'd cover this topic. I mean, it's so strange to me that people are surrounded by people to whom that transparent, aggressive manipulation actually works. I mean, isn't that sad? If you really cared about X, you'd deal with Y topic. Otherwise, you're a total fraud. Oh, my. Oh, I'm really sorry that you're surrounded by people who fall for that stuff. That's very sad. I mean, very sad. It's very, very sad. All right. Elon Musk X is investigating the cause of the SEC hack. Right. So I would assume that there is some IP switch or something, some way that they got a password reset in or something like that. And I think somebody tried to get a password reset from the SEC account and it was just like, yeah, just guess the email. And, you know, it wasn't impossible to guess, it seems like. So I assume that Elon Musk, you know, I mean, the SEC has really gone hard after Elon Musk. And now Elon Musk gets to investigate the SEC and see what was the cause of the hack because you've got all the logs and everything that happened. So, yeah. Yeah. Now, of course, if they weren't hacked and then they lied about it, well, that's just shocking. I mean, I know it's not shocking for us, but to the normies, that would be absolutely shocking. If the SEC said we were hacked and they weren't hacked, they just made a mistake, that would be an abdication of responsibility that would be utterly fraudulent. In my view, right, in my humble opinion, right? No, I'm not a lawyer. Do you ever read books twice? I have in the past, although as I age, I'm doing it less and less. Because obviously, when you're young, you've got this infinity of time ahead of you. Now that I'm 57, I have a fixed and comprehensible number of days ahead of me. And so the idea of reading a book twice, well, it's fine when you have a bunch of years ahead of you that are kind of foggy and go into the middle distance. But when you can see the end, you can see the gravestone, you can see the grave mark, then you're very conscious and aware of how much time you're spending on various things. And for me to read another book, I mean, I might read one with Izzy that I've read before, but for me to read a book twice would have to be, there would have to be a particularly good reason for it. Are claims of hacking would be something you could drag into civil court for slander against Twitter? Is that right? That seems unlikely to me. But if the head of a regulatory agency made a false statement about the cause of a massive market switch based upon their actions, I mean, of course, no one's ever going to particularly suffer for it and nobody's ever going to be held accountable, but it's pretty wild. Do you ever read your own books long after writing them? Yes. I've actually recently been listening to The Present and The Future. And, you know, when you finish a book, you see the flaws. A little bit later, when you're listening to it, you're like, damn, that's really, really good. Steph, check out the book, The Rise and Fall of Childhood by a John Somerville. Is that the singer for Bronski Beat? Probably not the same guy. I will make a copy. I will make a paste of that. Thank you very much. I will check it out. All right, so let me just see if I've got anything else to chat about. Y'all got to feed me something here, because my energy is not massive. This is interesting. This is interesting. Have you ever judged someone by their reaction to a book you love? I certainly have. I don't understand this beginning where he says Edward Teach is famous for making up fake novels to criticize, and it is a little known fact that the Ayn Rand character, along with all her novels, are 100% his work. I don't believe that, but there's something very interesting. Say, they operate as a diagnostic test based upon his psychodynamic theory of envy. The instrument presents a picture of some exceptional people achieving great things who don't apologize for their greatness and does not explicitly ask the patient, I mean reader, for their opinion. If the reader has no strong opinion or says something like, good for them, I guess, she passes the test. I like these people and will use them as a role model. Also passes. Some specific criticisms, see below, may also pass. If the reader says, people who are better than the pathetic sheep around them, just like I'm better than all the pathetic sheep around me, she still passes the test. That's not what the test is for. You fail the test if you absolutely freak out about some combination of the Rand characters themselves or the potential existence of arrogant people who identify with the Rand characters. The secret is that it's not a screening test for the kind of people who would get featured on r/IamVerySmart. It's a screening test for the kind of people who would comment on r/IamVerySmart, i.e. the self-designated tall poppy police, i.e. the people who build their egos off being the enforcers of the rule that you're not allowed to look better than anyone else. These people's basic mental stance is to hate people who seem too excellent. They don't think of it in these terms. They think of it as calling out arrogance. Although if you look too closely, you'll find their definition of arrogance covers anyone who seems excellent, but doesn't spend all their time apologizing and abasing themselves and denying it. The brilliance of Teach Rand is how she draws this tendency to the foreground. For example, why the whole objectivism thing? Not because value is necessarily completely objective, but because the idea that any value might ever be even partially objective freaks out the tall poppy syndrome people. Mention value at all, and they say you must be trying to secretly smuggle in the assumption that you are more valuable than other people, and therefore you are less valuable than other people, and therefore they are better than you. The same is true of reason. Mention that reason exists, and they'll interpret it as a claim that you, the only rational person, are claiming to always be right and infallible. But, they retort, actually, nobody knows anything. And the only wise people are the people like them who humbly admit this. How do you decide what's true without reason? By biased-based quote reasoning. You say X, but I can imagine a way that would come from a place of believing you are better than other people, therefore not X is true. You say that's a logical fallacy? That must come from a place of believing you're smarter than everyone else and the only person who can use facts and logic. The Teach Rand test is designed to catch the sort of person who, if someone says that on a right triangle, A2 plus B2 equals C2, responds with, oh, so you're claiming to be some kind of right triangle expert who's better than the rest of us? You really need to work on that arrogance problem. Super cringe. Any criticism of the book that doesn't come from this particular place is irrelevant to the test and doesn't count against your grade. Which is good because the books are bad in a lot of ways. But that's fine. Rorschach blots don't have to also be great art. So very interesting. I've said this before. I'll say it again, absolutely unapologetically. And maybe it takes a mountain climber at the top of a mountain to see another mountain climber at the top of a mountain. Ayn Rand was an absolute, complete, and total stone genius. Absolute, complete, and total. I mean, imagine writing the most influential book in modern English without having spoken a lick of English before you were in your teens. Learning English and then writing one of the greatest books in English. I mean, which is highly original. And she's fantastic at plot, right? So there's three things. I was talking about this with my daughter today. There's kind of three things about books that you need to, I look for, right? So a plot, description, and characters, right? Plot, description, and characters. Characters, romantic characters, she's fantastic at. Description, she's fairly good. But plot, I mean, There's almost no one better in terms of the mechanics of plot. My daughter and I finished reading Oliver Twist together. And, you know, obviously it's a paid by the word ramble tangent. And she's just, she's absolutely brilliant. And the funny thing, of course, I mentioned this before, but the funny thing is that all these women are like, yes, but she has aggressive sex scenes in her novels. And women just don't like that. And I'm like, okay, so I guess we'll just wait for 50 Shades of Grey to come along. And we'll see how much women don't like aggressive sex scenes in literature. That's funny. So, I mean, someone like Dickens, good at description, very good at character, not great on plot. Plot is probably one of my weaker points. I'm good on description, but great on character, right? So everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. C2 says, saw a woman reading Atlas Shrugged in public the other day, should have shot my shot. Yeah. I love when you talked about the difference between yours and Rand's approach to writing in a previous stream. Yes. Rand is very much a boss bitch when it comes to her own writing. She allows for a small amount of inspiration, but everything is regimented. Her words move forward along the Roman road of the plot like a Roman phalanx with their shields out to any deviation. Not a word wasted. And people used to pull open Atlas Shrugged and say to her, what's the purpose of this paragraph? Because she spent 13 years writing it. She could tell you why every word was in every paragraph. Incredible feat. Incredible feat. She spent 2 years on Galt's speech at the end. 2 years. Amazing. Just amazing. Now, I don't particularly enjoy writing like that. That to me is far too regimented. I enjoy much more play with the language. I enjoy much more fruition. I think that if I allow my unconscious to play, it will play with your unconscious, as opposed to this very hyper-controlled language of Ayn Rand's, which is very efficient at getting the message across, but I think lacks a spontaneous connection with the soul of the reader, of the unconscious of the reader. I mean, with the exception that when the wet nurse, is it the wet nurse? When he gets killed, spoilers, right? But when the wet nurse gets killed, I always found that very moving. To see somebody who's hyper-rational to be moving and deep. And I don't know if you noticed, but Ayn Rand actually shows up in her own novel. She's got a Hitchcock thing there. She shows up in Galt's Gulch. The American Psychological Association ranked B.F. Skinner, the father of behaviorism, as the most influential psychologist of the 20th century. People respond to incentives. People are programmed by their environment. People have no free will. Did he talk about child abuse? Then I don't care. If he's a psychologist and he's not talking about child abuse, he's just covering up crimes. He's a colluder, an enabler, he's just covering up crime. So, and there's nothing organic, right? The psychological associations are, you know, government monopoly grant powers, and there's nothing organic about it. And then they get pushed in school, they get pushed in university, they get pushed in popular culture. And so, anybody who claims to be about ethics and doesn't talk about child abuse, I just view them as playing ookie cookie with. Yeah. The tunnels have not been proven to have anything to do with that as yet. Obviously, we'll see. But as far as I know, they have not been proven. So don't jump the gun, man. It's really tough on your credibility. Don't jump the gun. You don't like it when people jump the gun with us, right? So if you don't like it when people jump the gun with you, don't jump the gun with others. It's a bit of a UPB thing, right? The SEC, Watcher Guru says, the SEC says they will work with law enforcement to investigate the hack. All right. Have you checked out Patrick Heehan? I have not. What's old Daniel Mackler doing these days? Do you think children with obsessions such as stuffies, blankies, etc. is because of a lack of parental bond? So, not necessarily. I think that blankets and stuffies and a favorite teddy bear is a way of the child gaining control over the bond, right? Because you're bonded with your mother, your mother has to put you down, your mother has to get something. And so you want to internalize your management of the bond. And so if you bond with an object that you can control, you are controlling your bond. Now, I guess in extreme circumstances, it could be that you are a broken bond and you're bonding with a hobby horse because your mother isn't paying any attention to you. But I think in general, it's about trying to manage your own bonding mechanisms. So. There was another question about tantrums. If you don't mind, I did a call-in with a woman whose 8-year-old daughter was having such tantrums that she ended up having to pull her out of school because she was screaming for a solid hour. And so, if you don't mind, if you can wait for that call-in to come out, I go into a lot of detail about the cause of these kinds of tantrums, and the cause of these kinds of tantrums in general is a lack of listening. Kids who, if you listen to a kid, then the kid usually won't be too volatile. As long as they feel listened to and accepted and understood, rather than dismissed and erased and neglected in that way. So, all right. Transcendental arguments. All right, so it's good questions here. I wish I could do a long show, but I can feel it, man. I can feel it. It's like an undertow. Well, maybe we'll get to some different kinds of depths there. Okay, so transcendental arguments. Transcendental arguments are saying that the greatest truths in life come from non-empirical, anti-empirical, non-empirical, or anti-rational sources, right? So you can Plato's forms, right? And so transcendental says that the greatest truths in life come about through introspection, ayahuasca, dreams, insights, visions, and these kinds of things. And they are the source of endless violence in the world. Because if you say the ultimate truth is subjective, it can't be measured, it can't be tested, it's not empirical, can't be proven, then you're saying that what other people have to obey can never be explained to them. It can never be explained to them. Now, if you're saying other people have to obey rules and standards that you can never explain to them, you need a dictatorship, right? Of course, right? I mean, I talk about this. You can check out Truth About Aristotle, The Truth About Plato, and I talk in there the difference, because all the way back to my graduate school thesis, I talk about the difference between Plato and his arguments for transcendental truths resulting in a brutal dictatorship, whereas Aristotle, who believes in empiricism, reason, and evidence, does not want a giant dictatorship to run everyone, right? And of course, Plato made the argument that families and children should have no boundaries. They should all be raised in common in one big squishy sort of Portland-style vat, which means, of course, that you're going to end up with a lot of incest. And, oh, gosh, it just seems odd to me that a philosopher would be like, you know, it'd be great. Anyway. Last I recall, Mackler was still effectively an anti-natalist. He still makes content. Antinatalists, to me, have a self-destructive element. If you're saying it's better to not have children, you're saying it's better if you hadn't been born. And that's very tragic to me. It's very sad for me. What about adults, particularly females, who sleep with a stuffed animal? Allegedly, Princess Diana did this. I don't know. I mean, sure, you're right. But females who sleep with a stuffed animal, boy, how deep should we go in this one? There is a way that women can attract male attention by pretending to be far younger than they actually are. If you've ever seen the show Sex and the City, Carrie Bradshaw's character, Sarah Jessica Parker, wife of Matthew Broderick, she does this all the time. She has these cutesy little giggles. She's okay, you know. So for women, there is a mating device, which is to pretend that they are much younger than they are. And as you can imagine, it attracts all kinds of creeps as a whole. So it's pretty tragic. Do you think that turn the other cheek is talking about NAP violations? Slapping someone on the cheek is a blatant assault. How does it make sense to just let that go? I mean, I don't mean to be Mr. Nitpicker, but we can think of situations where a slapping on the cheek is not a blatant assault. Somebody has epilepsy. Somebody sees a giant bug crawling on your cheek. There's a shadow that they think is a giant bug and they smack it away. They're just turning around and reaching for something and they smack you on the cheek by accident, right? So there's you know, you have to make sure that the person has willed the evil against you before you take vengeance, right? I knew a guy in high school who had a blanket and sucked his thumb at home, caused a terrible lisp. Yeah, that can be rough. That can be rough. Yeah, neoteny, right? As you know, so neoteny is the basic fact that in a lot of, particularly mammals, females imitate children, right? They retain childhood characteristics up until their adulthood, right? And so you've got high voices, you've got hairless faces, you've got a full head of hair for women, and so on. So, I always found Jordan Peterson's aversion to discussing childhood and child abuse to be rather telling. Playing helpless seems to work. My sister's new boyfriend is besotted. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, that's not good. Has he not talked about child abuse? I know he said that it was okay to hit your kids, if I remember this rightly, from 12 Rules for Life. Doesn't seem ideal to me, but, you know, he's got his thing, right? Playing helpless. Yeah, so playing helpless is a way for the woman to make the man feel stronger without the man having to be stronger, right? I mean, you've seen these videos of dads whose children are pretending to wrestle with them, and the kid jumps on the dad, and the dad's like, oh, you know, so it's kind of funny, right? Because you're pretending that your children are stronger than they are, and it's kind of fun and engaging and enjoyable. So it is a form of manipulation for women to pretend to be younger than they are, right? There is, it's a form of manipulation. And this is not just, of course, just voice and behavior and so on. This is a hair dye. This is makeup, teeth whitening, and the dark, right? So younger women have brighter eyes. And so putting dark around your eyes makes them look brighter and so on. So aping youth is a manipulation on the part of females. And so a woman who wants a man to be addicted to her will manipulate him by pretending to be weaker than she is so that he gets the dopamine and testosterone of unearned strength, if that makes sense. JP recommends punishing and rewarding children into behaving. Yeah. All right, Dave says, can you talk about the concept of reparenting yourself? You said it wasn't possible. How do you go from grieving your childhood to then being a responsible adult with missing skills or bad mental dialogue? How do you improve that without seeing yourself as a kid who needs encouragement? I'm genuinely asking this. I understand that, Dave. You've got credibility with me. It's a concept I embraced before, but you made a good argument against it. Okay, so you want to do that in life which unifies your personality as much as possible, right? You want to do that in life, which unifies your personality as much as possible. Otherwise, you're fragmenting, you're splitting, you can set yourself against yourself. So if you divide yourself into inner child and inner parent, then you are setting yourself, in a sense, against yourself, or at least at oppositional poles of agency. In order for you to parent yourself, you have to put forward a part of yourself as helpless and childlike. And that seems to me not ideal, to put it mildly. So philosophy, I think, would say something like this. Philosophy would say that if you have an abusive parental alter ego voice in your head, you would challenge it for its evidence, right? You would challenge it for its evidence. So for instance, if somebody in my head says, oh, Steph, you're so bad, you're just a jerk, you're an a-hole, like whatever, just pause on the abuse, it'd be like, okay, so you're verbally abusing me and yet you're calling me bad, right? Hey, I'm open to reason. If there's something I've done that's wrong, something I can do better, I'm happy to hear. But the fact that you're going straight into verbal abuse means you have no credibility. Like, I'll listen to you, but you can't be yelling at me. You can't be calling me names, right? That's an insult to us both, right? What positive effects do we get in our kids when we play weak with them? Well, we encourage them to be stronger, right? We encourage them to be stronger. So for instance, it could be the case that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So let's say that some woman plays super weak with a man, and then the man gets a burst of confidence, testosterone or whatever, and he becomes stronger through being around a woman who's pretending to be weaker. So he's play-acting as a strong man by his woman play-acting as a weak woman. And maybe, just maybe, that actually helps with regards to that. Maybe that helps him develop some confidence and some strength. It's possible. I'm not saying it's likely, but it certainly is possible, I think. Theology and philosophy are incompatible. Aquinas runs cover for child abuse by not mentioning. Well, I mean, who knows what was happening in those monasteries, right? We have some idea. Men are so stupid in the mating game because genes are on the line. But why are men still so stupid when children are off the table? Sex? Men are so stupid? Why are you kind of abusing men verbally, right? Men are just stupid. I don't quite understand what the purpose of that. Do you want me to hear a moral argument from you when you condemn unjustly 50% of the population? I'm happy to hear the case, but honestly, it's not something that I would take particularly seriously. All of our evolution has produced the best thing in the universe, which is the human mind. Right. We have produced the greatest glory in the universe, the human mind. So how can we criticize that which has produced? I mean, if you have a production team that has produced the very best car that has ever been made, do you get to bitch and yell at them and call them stupid? And of course, we know that the incentives are completely messed up in the world. That is, right? The incentives are completely messed up. I mean, do you know how much money Amaranth has made? Do you know how much money Amaranth claims to have made? I'm sure she did. Do you know how much money this woman, wasn't she in a pretty horrible relationship with her husband? Amaranth has recently posted something to say that she's made $57 million. Yeah, she's made $57 million. US, right? I love it. I think it's just beautiful. I thank her for that. I thank the simps who were shoveling all their money at her. Well, so far, what have I made? $15 on the live stream? Ooh, $15. So, it's wonderful. It absolutely liberates me, maybe you too, but it absolutely liberates me from caring what happens to people. I need a 57 million chains on a soul. Huh. Yeah, I mean, obviously it's quite devilish and destructive and harmful. Amaranth, yeah. Only Sims keeping women off the streets for years. It keeps all those Sims from messing with good women's heads. Yeah. I assume that that's a kind of financial masochism. Like you, I assume you jerk off because you've given a lot of money to a woman who ignores your existence, and that's some turn on for your Zeta-based life form horrors. But no, decadence is great liberation for moralists. Decadence is wonderful liberation for moralists. More decadence, I say. More decadence, I say, because it relieves us, right? You know, it's like that doctor many years ago when I was waiting for some medical thing, and he was the guy who had a broken arm was complaining that the arm didn't get better, and he turned out he'd gone skydiving with a broken arm and had banged it or something, and it's like the doctor was yelling at him and then just like, you know, I wash my hands on you. I can't do anything with you. To be honest, good women see straight through simps. Boy, aren't we, praising women and condemning men? The OnlyFans thing makes a lot of money for the state via taxes. Well, it's depopulation, right? I mean, it's just causing people to murk up their sex drive so they don't actually found and form families. It's turning them into creeps. It's turning them unattractive to women as a whole. And it's just another fewer people in the world situation. And there will, of course, be a reckoning, right? I mean, there's a reckoning. And the reckoning goes something like this. The reckoning is that these men are going to get into their 40s and 50s and have nothing. And they have corrupted themselves beyond the reach or appeal of any good woman. And the childless women and the men who've corrupted themselves, they can't even meet up. And of course, they can't take ownership. So it would be pretty bad. Yes, I probably need to sell more bathwater. As a man, I admire men, lots of them, even in their flaws. I mean, men are male is a morally neutral category, right? I hope it's not off topic. You've mentioned tips below a certain level are more trouble than they're worth. What is the threshold? Does the same apply to coins left in the tip jar for content posts? No, coins are fairly friction-free. So, I mean, I don't exactly have a number, but if somebody sends me a dollar or two, I feel bad because if they're that low on money, the last thing I want them to do is give me their money, right? That please don't. If you're down to your last couple of bucks, go buy some ramen noodles. For heaven's sakes. Sounds like Fight Club. No one wanted to date those characters. Oh, yeah. The people nobody wants. The leftovers. The people nobody wants. It's really tough. It's really tough. That book is an allegory for gay culture. Oh, Fight Club? Yeah, I saw this woman who was, have you seen this thing where women give a PowerPoint of their dating year? You know, I dated this number of guys, here's the good, here's the bad, blah, 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 blah. And the woman, it was cute, and she was like, yeah, this one guy got me arrested and totally broke my heart. I'm still not over him, this kind of thing. And then she said, there was another guy, he absolutely worshipped the ground I walked on, loved me to death. And my mom loved him, which is unusual, but there just wasn't enough spice, so I left him. I have a whole show on Fight Club. You can check it out at fdrpodcasts.com. Men corrupt women as well by being slayers and having one-night stands. They boast about it. Yeah, Yes, but of course, women disproportionately rank men as unattractive, right? You've seen these bell curves where women are ranked by men in a rational standard. It's a bell curve, but women rank the vast majority of men as utterly unattractive. One of the worst things to happen in the world is having people raise their standards to the point where they can't settle down and be happy. After reading Judge Judy made $147 million in 2017 alone, I decided to watch her show, and now I'm hooked. Any thoughts on her? I mean, seems a little anti-male to me, but I've only seen a couple of clips. I don't really have any particular opinions. I mean, she's a state representative, so. The ladies are always going to love that guy who rocked her world. Right, so this is the Titanic thing, right? Like, there's a guy who takes care of Rose and takes her everywhere and pays for her children, pays for her life, and then at the end of her life, she's still fantasizing about a homeless guy who railed her in a carriage and then died. A little crazy. A little crazy. I'm not particularly an expert on Islam, so. All right. Any last comments or questions? I'm afraid my the cold is slowly dragging me down like the Titanic, but without the nipple hard stimulation of icy water. I mean, Islam, Muslim scholars do have some interesting things to say about male protection. Is it true that women naturally chase men? In all TV movies now, you see guys chasing women, but older movies, women chase men. The analogy I read is that women are like cats. They come and go as they please, and you must let them. Most people do what they're told to do. Most people are programmed, right? We don't know what human nature is. We don't know what human nature is because it's controlled and programmed by TikTok and algorithms and public school and the media and girl power nonsense and so on, right? So we don't know naturally. How on earth would we know what is natural or not? If you look at women or men as a whole these days and think that there's anything organic going on, I'm not even sure what to tell you. We do chase men. It's sort of mutual. I think a woman will signal her interest in a man, for sure. But as far as chasing men, again, it may be different in the current generation, but it wasn't particularly the case. When I was a teenager and in my 20s, all right, last questions, comments. I'm happy to take any last tips, if you got them. He chases her until she catches him. Yeah, I've heard that too. There were a few women who chased me quite aggressively when I was younger, but they tended to be quite disturbed. Quite disturbed. But again, that's obviously personal anecdotal experience. So I can't give you anything true or valid or wider empirical other than my own experience. Did you get snow? Yes, got some snow, got some rain. In my opinion, men should never chase. Set yourself up to be used. Is there a particularly big signal put out by women when they're attracted to a guy? Yeah, they smile at you and welcome your conversation. Talk about how women will survive on a Bitcoin's standard, specifically the ones that have been high-flying on fiat-based dates and trips. Well, yeah, so without debt, women will have to, if they want kids, they'll have to have a provider because you can't just print and borrow Bitcoin for the welfare state. So they will have to start looking for quality men. They're going to have to grit their teeth, cross their legs when the bad boy comes along and look for a quality man. In other words, they'll have to let their future children determine who they're going to settle down with rather than their hormones and their loins. So I think that's going to be a very interesting phenomenon to see. And you'd be surprised at how quickly people will make that transition. It's pretty wild. Steph, what about the men who have very high standards, i.e. only wanting a virgin? Isn't that always the case? What about men? What about men? Women, what about men? I mean, statistically, it makes a man good sense to want a virgin, because virgins are almost never going to divorce you, right? Because you get the pair bonding, the oxytocin, the hormonal bonding, and so on. So a woman who's a virgin will almost certainly never divorce you, whereas a woman who's had lots of sexual partners will divorce you much more likely. I think it goes up to more than 50% after a while. So, oh, and telogamy, yeah, I've heard both things about that, but there's the argument that women who've had sex with a lot of men before, women who've had sex with men before, alters the genes and so on. Do you have, last question, I think, do you have any insight on how to manage your nervous system when creating content for public consumption, especially when it's on topics like you cover that are highly adversarial? It seems to affect me a lot. I'm passionate about the content, but it feels like my body goes into a stressed state, even though my content is normally well received. Well, because if you put out controversial content, which is generally content that harms the interests of some not great people, then either you're not doing any particular good, not harming their interests, in which case they don't care, but you're not having much of an effect, or you do harm their interests and they do get angry, in which case, right? So you just may be aware of that. In philosophy, success is failure, right? To be effective is to be attacked. I mean, you understand, right? So. More innocent the woman is, the better the engagement. Virgins tend to be more pure emotionally and more present when you're out with them. Well, and it is, of course, a rejection of immediate gratification, which could signal higher intelligence, or at least higher ability to defer gratification, which is associated with that. So it could be. It could be. All right, just waiting for people to finish with the typing. Don't forget, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. If you'd like to drop by later, I would really, really appreciate it. If you're listening to this later, freedomain.com/donate. I would really appreciate your support. And don't forget, freedomain.locals.com is very, very important for you to get hold of all the cool stuff that's out there for the donors. And of course, the Peaceful Parenting book is chugging along. All right. Well, thanks everyone so much. I appreciate that. Very nice to chat with you. Sorry it's a short show, but the cold is dragging me down like the claws of Hades. So I'm going to go and rest up and try not to pass out, because otherwise I'll be up all night. But thank you everyone so much for your feedback, your conversation. freedomain.com/donate. Lots of love from up here. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.